All right, I'm gonna throw everybody a curve this morning. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. I hope that everybody, as you come today for this, that you feel the weight of the moment. So often in our culture today, it's more about the pictures and the image and all of that than it is the substance. And I want you to feel the weight of this today. I'm going to ask if I think we can make this happen. Surely we can. I'm going to ask the parents. We've got five couples that are dedicating their kids this morning. I'm going to ask y'all, if y'all will, to pass your child off to somebody for about 10 or 15 minutes that they feel comfortable with. And I'm going to ask y'all to come sit right here next to Lori and right here in front of Marty and Krista. All right, coach, do your thing. The reason I'm doing this is because I want you guys to not be having to fiddle with your babies. I want y'all to be able to listen, okay? Because I've done stuff, and parents are more worried about keeping their child from being fussy than they are hearing the charge.
You know, we've moved up to the mountains of Hiawassee and got involved with this pastor, Eric Moore, who ministers to the Cherokee. And they've got a kind of a different culture. They let their kids run. You know, and I kind of regret when we were raised up, you know, my kids had to sit there and be quiet and listen to church. But I've had such a revelation, and I believe y'all are coming in that, and I appreciate you leaving the kids here, because there's so much about the culture of the children. And during our services up there in Cherokee, the little kids are running around, but they're not really that disruptive. And a couple times the parents have to get on to them, and, you know, if they get disruptive. But they just love their children, and they let them be children.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. I really liken a baby dedication to a wedding ceremony. And I don't want it to be just some pretty nice little cute service that we have. And, you know, y'all say, man, that check that box, feel good about it and all that. To me, it is your yes and your declaration to God that this is what we're going to do, and this is who we're going to be, and this is who our child's going to be. The thing, I love memorials. I love building memorials. And in my mind, I can always go back to August 27th, 1983, in a little bitty Methodist church in Temple, Georgia, where I stood before people and before God. And even as a young 21-year-old boy that really didn't have a clue what life was all about and all of that, I just knew my love and commitment for her. And so I stood before these people and I declared to have and to hold, for rich or for poor, in sickness and health, for better or worse, I'm committing my life to you. And I can never escape that moment and that declaration. There was a weight on it. There was a weight on it. And today, there's a weight on what you guys are doing. As y'all are coming in, and y'all are saying that we want to dedicate our children to the Lord. I appreciate you guys. Y'all don't even live here. But you've got such a connection with this house. And the things that God did in you in this time. And so you go back to a significant place. The thing about these memorials is they were built and they were established as a place of recognizing God doing something significant and also a place to come back to. You know, I think about Jacob as he has his encounter with God, and he builds an altar there. He builds a memorial there, and he says, this is Bethel. And then he comes back to that place. Years later, he comes back to Bethel, and it's a reminder. Is this was my encounter with God, and this is the significance of the moment. And I believe that our lives, I know that our lives are a series of significant encounters with God, and it's woven together by just everyday consistency. But I thank God for those significant moments. I thank God for the weighty encounters. And so that I put a lot of significance on things like this, and I hope you do too. This morning, I want to really charge you and challenge you. I don't want to be too hard, but I want you to get the weight of what you're dedicating to the Lord. And I mean that by your child, by your son, by your daughter. I've got several verses of scripture that I want to read this morning. There's two words that I want to charge you with, and this is for everybody in here, but just because your kids are older, or maybe you haven't had kids yet, this is something significant for all of us. But when I began to meditate on this baby dedication several weeks ago, and I felt like God just kept coming back to this common thing that he wanted me to talk about, and it comes down to two words, and those two words are watch me. Those two words are watch me. We're afraid to say those words because we're like, oh, I don't want anybody looking at me, and I don't want anybody looking at my life, and because I know my humanity, and I know my flesh, and I know this, and I know that, and all of that stuff. But the reality is, as I look in the scripture, and I begin to think about the Apostle Paul and all of his letters and all of his writing, he came in and he was constantly, constantly, constantly telling people to watch me. Watch my life. Watch the way that I live my life. Watch the way that I pursue my God. And it was a constant thing. And the reality is, guys, is your son is going to do two things. He's going to watch you, and then he's going to watch the world. And he's going to choose which way he wants to go. I pray that your life looks radically different than the majority of the world. He's going to watch you. Trent, he's going to watch you, and Tripp's going to decide one day, I'm going to follow and be the man that my dad is, or I'm going to be what looks more appealing to me out in the world. And I pray that you live such a life, it's a no-brainer to him, that there is no other life, and I want to be just like my dad. I want to look like him. So I don't want anybody up here to shrink back from watch me. Because you feel like I'm not adequate, you feel like I'm not deep enough, I'm not spiritual enough. A lot of times we'll default to the wife. I see husbands in 30 something years of ministry. I see so many husbands, and they default to the wife to be the spiritual leader because they say, "Man, I just don't feel like I'm strong enough." Your son is going to be begging for somebody to look up to, and I can think of no one better than Trent. That's the reality of it. She can be an awesome mom, and he can want to marry somebody just like his mom, but ultimately he wants to be his father. And I say that to you ladies as well. We've got more boys than we do girls that we're dedicating. I pray that she wants to marry someone like her dad. But I pray that her quest was to be a Proverbs 31 woman like my mother, and not the hottest soccer mom out there, or softball coach, or you fill in the blank. That my quest is to be this my journey is to be, to look like my father, to imitate my father. That the DNA, there's no denying. There's no denying. A while ago when I saw your dad, I'm like, that's got to be Alex's dad. I mean, golly, there's, you know, there ain't no denying that, is there? There's no denying that. And I want you to so look like your Heavenly Father, there's no denying whose kid he is. I stumbled across some excerpts from a book this week. And it was D.A. Carson. Never heard of him, don't know anything about him, but the excerpts from the book really, really stirred me. He was talking about when he was in college, and he was an undergraduate student, and he was majoring in chemistry. and I forgot the name of the university, it doesn't matter, but he and a friend decided we want to start a Bible study. And we want to start a Bible study, not for believers, but we want to start a Bible study for unbelievers. And so they started this Bible study, and he said the first week there was three unbelievers in there with me and my buddy. We were outnumbered right out the gates. And he said, I felt before long, in just a matter of weeks, it became 16 people were coming to our Bible study, and I felt overwhelmed. He said, I felt inadequate. Because they were asking, you can imagine, I was trying to lead these guys through the Gospel of John, and they were asking questions that I couldn't answer. And so I was coming in, and he said, luckily there was a grad student that was on campus that I knew, and he said, this guy was just, he had had a radical conversion experience. He was powerful in the Lord. He was just bold. He was rough, man. He was rough around the edges. But he said, he allowed me to bring some of these guys that had questions I couldn't answer to come and see him. And he would graciously try to answer their questions. And he said, one time I carried two kids to him. And he said, we went in, the guy's name was Dave. He said, I went into his apartment. And he said, Dave looked at the two guys and he said, why are you here? He said, well, I felt like university is, I kind of took by some of the verbiage that they were from England. He said, but university is a good time to explore things. To explore different viewpoints, to explore different religions. And he said, I've been reading some Buddhist teachings. And he said, I've got a friend that's a Hindu, and I've been asking him some questions. And he said, I'm just curious about the different religions and all of that. And he said, Dave looked at him and said, I've got some books that I can loan you on different religions, and I can tell you why I think Christianity is the truth. But he said, really, I don't have time for you. He said, because you're just playing a game. And he said, I don't have time for that. And then he said, he looked at the next guy and he said, why are you here? He said, well, he said, you would call me a liberal. My family a liberal. He said, we're part of the Unity Church. I know nothing about the Unity Church. He said, we're part of the Unity Church. And he says, really, it's a stretch for me to believe in the literal deity of Jesus Christ. And it's a stretch for me to believe in the literal resurrection. He said, but he said, my family is a wonderful family. He said, my mom and dad love me and my sister very much. He said, we're all very close. He said, we're active in the community. We're good people. We're generous. And he said, I want to know what makes your faith different than my faith. And he said, after about 2 or 3 minutes, Dave looked at him and he said, come live with me. He said, I've got an extra room in my apartment. Hang with me, I'm going somewhere with this. He said, I've got an extra room in my apartment. He said, I'll pay for the food. He said, you come move in with me this semester. He said, you watch me when I get up. He said, you watch me as I go about my daily life. He said, you watch me when I interact with people. He said, you watch what drives me. You watch what motivates me. You watch what inspires me. You watch what I want out of life. And then at the end of the semester, after living with me and watching me, he said, then you decide what's different about my faith and your faith. He went on to tell the story. He said the guy didn't take him up literally on the offer of moving in, but he said the guy began to watch him. He said the guy actually began to meet with him on occasion. He said now that guy from the Unity Church, he said now he's a medical missionary. Because he saw something so different in Dave. He saw something so different in the way that he did life that was greater than just, oh, we've got a good family unit. That's nice. That's awesome. But there's got to be more. And he came in with a challenge and he said, watch me. Watch me. And I want you to live your life with the mantra of you watch me. To our children, you watch me. To the world, you watch me. And people will come in and some people will say, oh, you're just boastful about your marriage, or you're boastful about your lifestyle, or you're boastful about this, or you're boastful about that. And what we're saying is I'm trying to show you the way, the truth, and the life. And if you don't live your life as a banner in front of your child, guess what? The world will. The world will. And they're going to make a decision one day. This is who I am, or this is who I want to be. Let me read some scripture. I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation. Man, I got several verses here. Bear with me on this. I want to hit several of these. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's coming in. The first one I'm reading is 1 Corinthians 4. He said, "But I'm a true father to you, for I became your father when I gave you the gospel and brought you into union with Jesus, the Anointed One." So this is where he says, "So I encourage you, my children, to follow the example that I live before you." Notice the wording right there. Corey, he didn't just say follow the example that I tell you about. He said follow the example that I live before you. He's not only listening to your words, he's watching your life. He's going to see how you live. You know who he wants to be like? I'm pointing to my grandson Z. Brett. He wants to be like his daddy. And then you carry that up a level, and you know who else he wants to be like? It's Poppy. You know what horse he wants to ride? Now, he always claims and gets on the biggest horse on the farm. You know why? Because it's Poppy's horse. It dwarfs him, but it's Poppy's. I want to look like my father. I want to act like my father. I want to get on a dirt bike and ride a dirt bike because my father thinks riding dirt bikes is cool. Right? He's not trying to be like everybody in the world because he's got somebody living in front of him right now. And he says, "That's pretty stinking awesome. So I want to be like him." It's a good thing, buddy. Embarrassing him a little bit. That's what happens when you're a preacher's kid or a preacher's grandkid. That's the reality of it. The Apostle Paul is coming in right here, and what does he say? Follow the example that I live before you. He's not just saying, man, y'all be like Jesus. He's living the kind of life that his life looks like Jesus, so they can follow Jesus through the Apostle Paul. You should be able to follow the Lord by looking at the example of your mom. You should be able to follow the Lord by looking at the example of your mom. Trevor, you went to Georgia game yesterday, didn't you? I heard you did. Y'all whooped up on them pretty good. It's cool to look at these guys out there and say, man, this guy's awesome and that guy's awesome and an amazing athlete and all of that stuff. And I remember in my era, I could talk about athletes that were just amazing, Herschel Walker and Bo Jackson and people like that. They were just like, oh, my gosh. You know, baseball we could carry over to, you know, my generation's Dale Murphy and people like that. But I don't want you to be like any of those. If you have that athletic ability, that's cool. But you know who you need to emulate and say, man, this is what I want to follow after. It should be the example that this man right here is sitting in front of you. Isn't this awesome to have these guys? But ultimately, it is what I live with every day. Dave said, come live with me. The Apostle Paul comes in and he says, follow the example that I live before you. He didn't say follow the example that I've told you, but he said follow the example that I live before you. Guys, all of this morning is worthless if you don't live it out. This ain't worth a hill of beans if you don't live it out. Woo, you dedicated your baby. But if you don't live it out, if you don't walk it out, if you don't follow through, if you don't follow through, if you don't let this be who you are, that Ruth sees it every day. She lives it every day. She feels it. I always give the girls a hard time about being just like their mom. You know what? That's one of the best compliments that I can give them. Because more than anything, she's a kingdom woman. She's a Proverbs 31 woman. More than anything, that's who she is. And we joke about quirks and we joke about personalities and all that. But at the end of the day, some of our little family group texts are hilarious between me and her and the girls. It has to do with them being just like their mama. Doggone, I want him to be just like his daddy. If his daddy is just like his daddy, his heavenly father, This is what he's saying right here. He said, follow the life, the example that I live before you. He goes on, he said, that's why I've sent my dear son Timothy, whom I love. He is faithful to the Lord Yahweh, and remind you of how I conduct myself as one who lives in union with Jesus. I love that right there. How I conduct myself as one who lives in union with Jesus. You know the root source of all of this with the Apostle Paul? It was the fact that he lived in union with Jesus. You know what's going to make you or break you in life, and how you live in union with Jesus? It's not what your career looks like. Those are great things. But that doesn't define you as a man. It doesn't define you as a woman. It's how you live in union with Jesus. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many, you know, I know you got a day job, and now you got a coaching job, and I know you're passionate about coaching. That's awesome. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many wins or losses you have. It doesn't matter how successful or how unsuccessful you've been. What matters is, are you living in union with Jesus? And how does that flesh out in your relationship with your wife? How does it flesh out in your relationship with your daughter? That's the significant thing in this, and how I live in union with Jesus. Let me hit just a couple more. I want to drive this home. I'll share all the scripture with y'all later. If you want it, you can look it up. You may be like, okay, that's good. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, I want you to pattern your lives after me just as I patterned mine after Christ. Get this, how personal it is. I want you to pattern your lives after me. Marvin is saying, live like I live. Live like, be the man you want your two daughters to marry. I'm serious. Be the man you want your two daughters to marry. That should be your drive in life. Is I want to be such a kingdom man that pattern your lives after me just as I pattern mine after Christ. I pray that your daughters will want to pattern their marriage after your marriage. Because they've seen something marvelous and amazing that works right in front of them. So that's what I want, nothing less. That's what I want and nothing less. So he said, pattern your life after my life. Watch me. Watch me. Watch me. Watch me. You're going to teach your son a lot of things, Trent. You'll teach him a lot of stuff in life. And when you're teaching him stuff in life, you know what you're doing. You say, all right, now watch me, son. This is how I do this. Watch me. This is how I do this. Don't try to separate kingdom from that. Don't say in the physical, I want to teach him to do these things. You're going to teach him to drive, and you're going to be patient, and you're going to instruct him, and you're going to do all of these things. You're going to teach him about sports. You're going to teach him how to hit a ball, throw a ball. You're going to teach him, I don't know if you're into hunting and fishing or not, but you're going to teach him how to catch a fish. You're going to teach him how to clean a fish. You're going to teach him how to hunt. You're going to teach him all of these things. But then we come in and we say, now you look at somebody else on the spiritual stuff, because I ain't that guy. Be that man. Be that man. Son, this is how you pray. This is how you chase after God. This is how you honor a woman. This is how you treat a woman. If he sees you treat her amazing, you know what? I promise you, ain't no little girl going to have to worry about the way he treats them. Because my daddy saw how I honored my mama. Because I saw how my daddy honored my mama. So my endeavor's a man like that. My endeavor's to be that man. Man, that's it. That's it. You carry Zealand out on the dirt bike track. You ride in front of him, and to start with, to show him how to go over the jumps, and it's okay to do it, and this is how you do it, and all that stuff. You don't just say, get it, boy. I bet you show him how to do some of that before you just turn him loose. That's what our kingdom life looks like, guys. Don't just bring them to church and say, I hope whoever's in children's church teaches them well. They will. They're going to give them a good word, but it's not enough. They'll see people sing, and but that's not enough. They'll hear me preach, but that's not enough. They'll see us baptize people. It's not enough. There goes, wait a minute. We're going to get the oil out. We're going to pray over babies and all of that stuff like you're supposed to do in a baby dedication. But if you don't follow through with it, none of that stuff's worth anything. I can give your kid a bath in oil. And I can anoint them, and I can pray over them, and I can speak in tongues over them and everything else. But if you don't walk it out in front of them, if you don't live it in front of them, then are we accomplishing anything here this morning? I want you guys to walk out of here with such a resolve. That's more important than how much money you make. I hope y'all are successful. I hope you do well. I hope you're very, you know, entrepreneurial-minded, kingdom-minded, all that stuff in those areas. But at the end of the day, that's not what's going to make or break Jackson. It's going to be, how did my mom, and it's great for grandparents and all that stuff to live it before them. That's awesome. But at the end of the day, they're not living with them. They're living with you. Now, Apostle Paul's going to talk about extended family here in just a minute. He's going to talk about look at others and model your life after others as well. When the reality is, it's you and your home and the time you spend with them. And what do they see in me? Not just what do they hear in me, what do they see in me? See in me. I'm going to read two more verses and then we're going to shift over. I'm going to Philippians 3. In verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, "My beloved friends, imitate my walk with God and follow all those who walk according to the way of life who model before you." He said, "Imitate my walk with God and follow all those who walk according to the way of life we modeled before you." Imitate mine, follow those. Imitate us. Look at Pastor Sid and Lori. I want to be a standard for you. Look at different people in your life. Yes, if they're kingdom people, you look. You follow at that, but imitate my walk. He's not passing it on down the road. I'll speak to all five of you men right now. Don't lay that burden on your wife. Man, you get that spiritual stuff from your mama. I work hard and I'm going to provide for you. But I'll let her be the spiritual leader. Man, Tripp don't need that, dude. He needs you being a kingdom man. He needs to walk in your footsteps. Say, this is who I'm going to be. This is who I am. I like in verse 20, jumping into verse 20 in this same thing, he says, "But we are a colony of heaven on earth." Isn't that good? It's got some weight to it, doesn't it, Marty? We are a colony of heaven on earth as we cling tightly to our life giver, the Lord Jesus. Whew. We're a colony of heaven on earth as we cling tightly to our life giver, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our identity. That's our identity. I don't want culture to shape our kids. I don't want this school, no offense to any school teacher in here. I love you guys, and I hope y'all are coming in, and I hope y'all are being awesome kingdom in the classroom. But heaven help us if we want the school system to show our kids the proper way. You gonna trust that? Not me. This is who we are, and this is how the Word says we're separate and peculiar people. I know I'm in the minority, and I'm okay with that. I know I think different than the world, and I know I act different than the world, and I know my mindset's different than the world, and me and Lori always constantly, the more we go in this, we say, man, we are just weird, and everybody else must be normal because we feel like we're weird to the world. But everything about the way we do life feels so normal, and it feels so right. Don't be afraid to be that family. Don't be afraid to be that couple. Don't be afraid to be as for me and my house. We're going to serve you. I'll do you, but let me show you a more perfect way. Isn't that what he says? Let me show you a more perfect way. Be a standard. I used to think that the I love history, and I love war history and all of that stuff, just all the conflicts and the engagements and the battles. And man, I used to just study that stuff as a kid, man. You know, you talk about, oh, let's talk about all the dynamics of this and this and this and this and this and all that. And I used to think that the suckiest job in the military was the flag bearer. You think about it, you're on the battlefield, man, and you're out there, and I know things are different today and all, but you think about in the battlefields of antiquity, you go out, and even as recent as, you know, the 19th century battles and all of that, and you've got these armies going out there, and you've got this one guy, and he's carrying a flag, and he's not carrying a gun. I'm like, man, that would really stink, because number one, you're a target for the enemy. You're a target for the enemy. And you can't shoot back. And all you're doing is carrying this flag. And I'd be like, man, that really have to suck. And God said, that's the most important one, because you know what he's doing? He's a standard for the army. He's a standard for the troops. He's a rallying point. He's a visual. He is a visual reminder and a visual point of this is who we are and this is where we are. When everybody else is retreating and the guy with the flag's going forward, you know what it does? He causes everybody to rally around. God wants you to be the standard bearer. You say, man, I'd rather be the guy in the trenches shooting and all of this stuff. God wants you to be the standard bearer. God wants you to be, every one of y'all have got different friend groups. Every one of you have different friend groups. God wants you to be the standard bearer in your friend groups. It's not just your kids at home, but God wants you to be the standard bearer in your friend groups. This is who we are. We're not just a nice little family that's got a good little marriage and good little cool little life and all of that stuff. Forget about your Facebook life and forget about your Instagram life and say, this is who we are, and this is our standard. And this is the flag that we're flying. And the flag that we're flying does not vary from who we are. Because you can run a lot of flags up the flagpole and live a totally different way. And if you do that, you know who's going to see right through that. Your friends might not see right through that, but you know who's going to see right through that. Your child. Your son and your daughter, and your daughter, and your son, and your two daughters, and your son. They're the ones that are going to transparently see who you really are. So, Corey, be that man. Live the life where you can look at Jackson and say, Jackson, watch me. This is how you do life. Be like Dave in the excerpt from the book, come live with me, and then at the end of your time with me, then you tell me what the difference is. You tell me what the difference is in me and the world. And me and what culture says is that's it. That's what the Apostle Paul's declaring in all these scriptures. I got about six more, but I'm not going to read them. Say thank you. This is life, guys. This is life. Do you want this before the babies come up? Okay. I
knew Lori was going. Well, he's going to tag team it today. And him saying that, how important it is that y'all are the standard bearer, I also want to release you. You're not going to be perfect. I'm so thankful that 35 years ago, I had a lady speak to me and say, you're going to make mistakes. That's okay. Where is your heart? Where is your heart at? 35 years ago, I had this wonderful lady named Martha McClendon who led me and taught me how to raise children and how to be okay with showing your flaws. You know, when you tell somebody to come live with you, Nick, you see those flaws, don't you? Nick lived with us for several years when he was in high school. You didn't see that we were perfect, did you? No, you can lie. But he saw that we were real. That's what the world wants. That's what your kids need to see, is you are real. and you believe what you're telling them. You believe it. And I have something when I was praying. Martha, this lady is really old. I've got y'all some books. Girls. We had more girls than boys. Poppy, bless him with that. No. Girls. But the first one on the bottom is, but she wrote, pray in circles around your children. Where are we? Girls. I am so wrong. Poppy was right. Y'all. See, we're not perfect. We are not. I'm like, where's the other girls? Here we go. I will give you a Bones won't. I mean, Lori won't mine. See, we're not perfect. See, case in point. My bad, Papa. You were so right. You were so right. The first one is praying scriptures over your kids on the bottom. Praying circles and praying scriptures. And in my Bible, I had where I went through, I won't say daily, but on a regular basis, praying scripture over my kids. And you know what I started doing when they're really young? I started praying for him. I started praying for my son-in-law. Praying for their future spouses. It is time to start praying for who they're going to marry. Because let me tell you, the days are long, but the years are fast. The years are fast. You better start praying, God, send them my mate. Send them who you have for them. Send them that. Watch over and protect them. Protect them when they're in schools and protect them where they go. And that they'll get the right mindsets. Do all these things. And then the next one is by Bill and Benny Johnson, and it's declaring destiny over your kids. And it's things that, well, I just got it for Aaliyah and my girls, and it's just praying over them, praying over their futures and what they're going to grow up and be. And so I just wanted to give that to you because that, I'm telling you, and I kind of messed up again. That's the workbook for the praying circles around your kid and the prayers, but you can also get the book to go with it. But that's a really good one too. And I'm so thankful that Martha showed me that book so long ago. And then I was just grounded in it, and that the Father led me in that. And we're charging the parents here, but I'm so thankful for the extended family that's here because it's our responsibility, too, to be there and to show that standard, too. And you know what, church? It's our responsibility, too. Amen. Praise and worship, I thank you that we lay a presence of that they can come in here, they can feel God's presence here. Everything about this, we're all responsible. We all have a part. We all have a part. But you know who's the most? We can turn to him. And I just want to leave this last Psalms with you for today for our families and for these kids and just for us. It's Psalms 144. It says, there is only one strong, safe, and secure place for me. It's in God alone, and I love him. He's the one who gives me strength. You know, you're going to have all kind of books that tell you all kind of things, and they're all great and good, but he's the ultimate one that's going to give us strength, and he will give us skill for the battle. When you don't know what to do, you better turn to him. Because he will lead us and guide us, and he'll never lead us astray. Amen. He says, he's my shelter of love and my fortress of faith, who wraps himself around me as a secure shield. I hide myself in this one who subdues enemies before me. He says, I'm skipping a little bit. It says, my God, I will sing you a brand new song. The harp inside my heart will make music to you. I will sing of you, the one who gives victory to kings, the one who rescues David, your loving servant, from the fatal sword. Deliver me and save me from these dark powers who speak nothing but lies. Their words are pure deceit, and you can't trust anything they say. Deliver us. Here's the key. Then our homes will be happy. Then our homes will be happy. Then, when he delivers us, our sons will grow up as strong, sturdy men. That's my prayer over these boys today. That your sons will grow up as strong, sturdy men, and our daughters with graceful beauty, royally fashioned as for a palace. Your barns will be filled to the brim, overflowing with the fruits of your harvest. And it's not talking about money here. It is, but it's talking about you will have peace in your home. You will have fruit that grows out from just your family. You'll have fruit that lasts, that's eternal. Our barns will be filled to the brim, overflowing with the fruits of our harvest. Our fields will be full of sheep and cattle, too many to count. And our livestock will will not miscarry their young. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there'll be no breach in our walls. What bliss we experience when these blessings fall. The people who love and serve God will be happy indeed. And y'all are doing the best thing you've ever done for your kids is come up here and say, this is a declaration we're making today as we're dedicating them to the Lord. And I'm telling, we as a church, we will be here in every way we can to foster that. To foster that for you, and your families will foster that for you. Amen. So let's do this before we, old Rufa, here we go.
Amen. Man, I want you guys to participate with us as we, y'all grab your kids. All you parents, if y'all can grab your kids. Yes, somebody do that. You know why I have hope for America? Because what's standing right up here? That's why I have hope for America, for what's standing right up here. Young men and women that are coming up and they're producing the next generation and they're raising the next generation and say we're going to be a colony of heaven planted on the earth. That's why I have hope for us. Man, we want to pray over these guys individually or as a group or what love. Man, I don't want the kids to get too undone, but I want to take a moment for the weight of each child. Usually we don't have this many at once, but I'm okay with that. I personally like it when we stand in the baptismal pool and we're baptizing 3 or 4 or 5 people and we pray over everyone individually and we're prophesying and declaring over each one individually, right? All right, excuse me if I botch this, but we got Jackson and Adlin, right? And Tripp and Miss Rufa. It's not happy right now. It's okay, baby. And Gannon, right? Awesome. Errol would be proud. She texts me all the names. She said, don't blow it, Dad. I know the parents. I don't know the children yet. But the cool thing about it is my God already knows everything about these children. He said, I knew you before I formed you. And I know my thoughts for you. I know my plans for you. And you can look at all of these children and you see characteristics of their parents in them. I mean, if this is not a mini-me, I've never seen a mini-me. That's a good thing. But I pray when he looks at you, he sees a mini-me of the Heavenly Father. That's where the power of that comes in. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the fathers. I'm going to ask you to anoint your child with oil. Just a little bit on their forehead. You can lather them as much as you want here. A little bit oily there. I'm going to anoint y'all. Double portion for you, brother. I've actually had people pour a whole bottle of oil over my head before. I bet you have too, haven't you, Steve? You've probably done the pouring before. You didn't have to worry about mosquitoes that night, though. Amen. There's actually a sermon in that. When I'm so filled with the Holy Ghost, it'd keep the no-see-ums away, right? Come on, baby. Oh, man. Father, I anoint Alec and Ashley. Man, y'all extend your hands. I anoint Alec and Ashley to be everything you called them to be, Father. I pray Alec could be a kingdom man above everything else. That his son and his daughter would watch him burn for you and walk in intimacy with you. They would watch him the way he gets up, and they would watch him the way he interacts, and they would watch him the way that he pursues life. I pray that he would be not only the father that you've called him to be, but the husband you've called him to be. I pray that he would honor Ashley. And he would love her the way you love us. And he'd be a covering for her. Father, I pray for her that she'd be the Proverbs 31 woman you've called her to be. She would walk before you humbly in the grace of your love. And I just declare this, and I believe this, Father. It's in Jesus' name. Be with Gannon. Dream your dreams through him, Father. Your dreams through him. His future, his wife, be with him as he colonizes this planet as a kingdom colony. Lord, we just declare this over this household. In your name. In your name. Amen. Whew, man. Oh, yeah. Come on. Join with me in prayer. Father, I pray for Tim. Lord, that he would be a kingdom man. That he would walk upright before you. He would walk upright before you. That there wouldn't be any shadow of turning in his life. But he would be real. I pray he'd be real and raw. No mask, nothing hidden. But he would live open and unashamedly before you. Lord, I just declare that over him. I pray for Randy. Lord, let her walk in a place of peace. In a place of being seated with you. In a place of calm, and I pray that would permeate throughout their household. That she would feed and thrive off of Tim's covering, and ultimately your covering. And I just declare that peace. A settled place, a settled place. Lord, I lift up Rufe to you. Father. I pray your blessings on her. I pray your protection on her. I pray that she would see the world with big eyes. That she would have this amazing worldview, Father. And that you'd launch her out into that. I declare over her, and I declare all over all five of these children, that they would fly high but build home. They would fly high but build home. And I pray that home would be such a stable place for them. That it's where their strength comes from, and it's where their hope comes from, and it's where their promise comes from. And they would launch out from that into a place of greatness. Thank you, Jesus. And if y'all need to pass them off or let them get in a more comfortable place, that's cool, okay? That's cool. Don't feel like you have to stand up here the whole time. Yeah. I want to take the time to do this. Oh, man. Allie, I want to say something to you. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, Timothy had a mother and he had a grandmother, and they were women of great faith. And he said, don't ever stray away or journey away from not only what I've imparted into you, but what you grew up in. And you grew up in kingdom. You grew up in kingdom. Your roots are in kingdom. Use that to your advantage, okay? Because some people, they're the first generation and they're starting with things, but you've got roots, so you build on those, all right? You let that intertwine. And that's a strength thing for you, okay? And sometimes Trent may need to lean on that and may need to rely on that. He's the head and he's the spiritual leader that God's established in the home, but sometimes he needs to lean on the strength of your roots in the Lord, all right? Amen. Trent, don't be intimidated by that in any sense. God's called you to be a kingdom man. God's done a work in your heart. He's given you a heart to pursue Him. There's a gentleness and a kindness that I see in you, and that doesn't mean softness. There's a gentleness and a kindness that I see in you. Don't suppress that. Let that flow out. Let that flow out, because God will use that big time in your son. Yeah, I want your son to be man tough, and he's a man's man and all that stuff. But you can, David would go out and he could slay his thousands and then come in and he'd write this beautiful and sing this beautiful love song to God. So don't be afraid of the gentleness and kindness of being a big part of flowing out the river that comes out of your life, okay? Because I see that in you, man. I see that in you. And it's good. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Embrace that thing. You know, be tough. Be perfect. Be the protector. Be all those things. But let that gentleness and that kindness flow out of you, okay? All right? Amen. Father, I pray for Trent. I pray for Allie. I just pray and declare your blessings over them. I pray that they would just be a awesome kingdom family, Father. That they would pursue you, and that they could say in their lives, watch me, watch us. Watch how you do marriage. Watch how you do life. Watch how you treat a man. Watch how you treat a woman. Watch how you work hard. Watch how you do all of these things in life. And if you see us, then you see the Father. And I pray that not only in their interaction with their children and their immediate family, but their circle of friends, I pray that their lives and their home and their family and just the way they do life would be an influencing factor on the people that they do life with. And I pray for that realm of influence with them. I pray for a big splash, Father. And they don't have to do it showy, but there would be something different. After people have spent time with them, then they'll know. Not necessarily what they say at the forefront, but they'll know. And I pray that they would just live that life. Live that life. Lord, keep their hearts pure. Keep their hearts pure toward each other. Keep their hearts pure toward kingdom life, toward the gospel, toward ministry that you want them to flow in. And God, just pour in and do a good work in them, Father. Do a good work in them. I thank you for them. I thank you for Tripp. I pray blessings over him. I pray protection over him. I pray eyes in him that will see what's patterned before him. Let him grasp and understand at an early age, and let him be set and established in that. Lord, it's in Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. All right. We ready? Come on, Danielle. You can get up here with me. I'm going to pray for your mom and daddy. Yeah. Hey, sis, how are you? Sweet girl. Yeah. Man. Amanda, who'd ever thought? I don't know, 15 years ago, 10 years, it's been a while. Been a hot minute, 15. I'm getting old. 15 years ago, who'd ever thought we'd be at this place? See, the beautiful thing about this is God's got this journey of life for each of us. And the people that he brings into our lives and the way our lives interconnect and interact and all of this stuff. And it's fun to sit and look now back at 15 years and say, I saw God orchestrating things. But I want you guys to understand that God has already got a plan that he's orchestrating for Adeline and Danielle. And he's already orchestrating that, and he's already weaving the fabric of that tapestry. And so what I feel like the Lord wants me to say to you two guys, and I'll try to make this individual for everybody, but what I feel like the Lord's telling me to say to you guys is trust in the uniqueness of his plan. Not only for y'all's life, but trust in the uniqueness of his plan for your daughter's lives. And if you guys have any other kids later on, it'd be the same thing for them. But trust in the uniqueness of his plan for your life. Because he's got amazing uniqueness for this young lady. And we think that you know, some of the stuff that we go through, and we, you know, part of the time here and part of the time in Texas and all of that, and we worry about how's a kid going to adjust, and, you know, with the COVID and having to do virtual school and all of these things and all of that, God's got this. And he's going to take all of these things that we think are challenging for our children, and it's going to be it's going to be something that binds them and strengthens them and becomes part of the strengthening of the fabric of who they are. So don't walk in a place of anxiety. I think it's what he'd have me to say to you, man. Don't walk in a place of anxiety of how all of this, sometimes it feels chaotic, and sometimes it looks chaotic, and it's, you know, my jumbled life and all of that. And God says, I've got it all. I've got it all woven together. I've got it all locked together. And so just walk in a place of trust, okay? All right. Amen. Yeah, here we go. Marvin, live a life that says, watch me. That's what the Father's saying to you. Live the life that says, watch me. Watch my heart. Watch my convictions. Watch my dedication. I was sitting on an airplane last night flying in from Jackson Hole, and there was a young man sitting next to me, and he had a tattoo on his hand, and it said loyalty. And I caught I don't know if he was in a gang or what, but but it said loyalty. And God kept drawing my attention to that on his hand. And it said loyalty. And I feel like the Fathers want me to when we say watch me, I want you to be so ingrained in loyalty to your family. To your wife, to your daughters, to your family unit. That one thing, then you say, watch me. And the Apostle Paul listed all these things and said, watch me. And I pray that one thing that you could say on your list of things is, watch my loyalty. I've seen it the way you've committed to making the treks and doing all the things with Danielle. It's been impressive. But let it be bigger than that. That's one aspect. Let that same thing be branded on your heart toward Amanda. Let that same thing be branded on your heart toward Adeline. Okay? All right? Amen. We're good on this. Everybody good? Y'all extend your hands. Let's pray over them. I pray this is not laborious for you because this is significant for these families up here. I don't want them to be a statistic in 5 years. I don't want their children to grow up as statistics in 5 years. Amen. Be that man. Father, stir in Marvin so that he would be that man. So that he would hunger for you. He would hunger for kingdom things. He would hunger to be an upright man before you. And I just pray and I declare that over him right now, Father. I pray that his appetite would just be transformed to the things of heaven. And that would make him flourish here on earth. But I pray that he would seek first you and your righteousness, the things pertaining to your world. I pray that the veil would be real thin between heaven and earth for him. God, I pray that's his pursuit. That is his pursuit. Teach him how to be the father you've called him to be. Teach him how to be the husband you've called him to be. I pray that his heart would stay pure. As you cleanse it and as you make it right, I pray that it would stay pure. And I pray that he would guard it. Above all else, he would guard it, Father. I just declare this over him. I pray for Amanda right now. I pray she would just walk in a place of peace. She would walk in a place of rest. She would walk in a place of trust. Into your plan, into your journey. And I just declare that. And I believe that. I pray for Adeline. Protect her. Guard her. Strengthen her. Encourage her, Father. I pray for an extreme sense of family, but also individuality. That she would not get lost in everything, but she would understand who she is as a growing up as a strong woman in you. And I pray that her life experiences would give her strength. Lord, I just... let her life be a canvas, Father, that you can paint on. I pray that she would just be a blank canvas. I pray that her life would be filled with wonder as she looks at the world, that she would see wonder in the world. She would see wonder in people. And that she would just be that blank canvas. Yes, Lord, thank you. And as I praying for her, I saw that, guys. I saw that her life would be a blank. God wants her life to be this blank canvas, and that he wants her to see through the eyes of wonder. And the world tries to push that down and mask that and everything. But I pray that y'all would provide an environment and stimulate her to see things through wonder, through the eyes of wonder, okay? Let God paint on that, all right? I know she's fussy. Sorry, guys. Y'all were last. She'll come back. There she is. Sorry, Lori. Wouldn't be right if I didn't call you Bones at least once. That's my endearing term for her. It's Bones. Yeah, man. Orange, OJ. Nice. Man, I love you guys. Bones, it's been fun to watch. We talk about our journey with Amanda a while ago, and I look at the journey of your life and as a young high school girl, and I know you grew up in a kingdom home. And as I was saying to Allie a while ago, you keep building on that. You keep building on that. Let that be roots, all right? Let that be roots. I'm proud of you guys. And I don't mean that in a condescending way by any means. But, you know, y'all, Corey, you're not from here. You're not from, I don't know all of your background on everything. But our culture's different. Our culture's, at least mine and Lori's world's weird. And you're getting some of that with Lori. And I don't see you shrinking back from that. I see you embracing that. And you, she's turned into a strong woman. And you allow her to be a strong woman. And that's an attribute for you. That's a strength for you. That's a virtue for you allowing her to be a strong woman. And so sometimes that's tough for guys to lead a strong woman. But you're up to the task. So don't be intimidated by that and don't shrink back from that, okay? That's what I would say to you individually as a man, is God built you for this and he created you for this. So you step up into that role, okay? He is going to mold you and shape you. And I know you're older than these other guys. You got gray in your beard. I want to tell you something, not that Corey's old or anything, but I felt like when I turned 50, my life started. And it was good up until that point. But it started anew again when I was 50. And so do not think that you're too old for God to start flourishing and blossoming you and transforming you and turning you into a new creature. Okay? Because he wants to continually do that. So I just want to declare that over you. That may be a weird thing, but I want to declare that over you. I know he's been up here a long time, and I'm sorry, guys. He's doing good. Let him go. He's all right. Amen. Yeah. You keep walking this out. Your best days are in front of you. Your best days as a wife are in front of you. Your best days as a mother are in front of you. Your best days as a in your career is in front of you. And God wants to be in the middle of all of that. He is in the middle of all of that. So you just continue your pursuit. You continue your pursuit. Okay? Amen. Laura, you got anything you want to throw in right here? I know Bones has got a really, really special place in your heart. All right, man. I'm going to just, y'all extend your hands. We're going to pray over Corey and Lori. If you will commit your life to chasing after him, you will not be disappointed. If you will commit your life to pursuing him, you will not be disappointed. One of his promises is he'll give you the desires of your heart. And you can trust him in that. Now, he may shape and change the desires of your heart. They'll look different as you continue to grow in him. But that's his heart for you, just like your heart is for Jackson. All right? Amen. Here we go. Father, I pray for Corey. I declare that he would be an upright man. That he would walk in character. He would walk in strength. He would walk in a place of honor. That he would put the proper weight on the people that are around him. That he would properly see the people that you've placed around him. And he would put that weight on that. And in that, it would allow him to flow in who he's called to be. And it would allow him to receive from these people. And I just pray that over him right now, Father. I pray that he would just walk the walk as being a man that could tell Jackson to say, watch me. Watch me. Watch me. Watch my pursuit. Watch the way I do life. Watch the way I love your mother. And I just pray that Corey would be that man, Father. Stir in him, change his appetite, continue to develop his palate for the things of life and what you would have for him, Father. And I pray that he would be open to that and he would receive that in Jesus' name. Yeah. He wants daddy. All right. Now he's happy. Amen. Yeah. All right, Father, I just thank you for Lori. She is a gift to us. She's a gift to Corey, a gift to Jackson. And Lord, as I lay my hands on her, I just see a flower that's beginning to unfold and beginning to open. And that right now she looks beautiful at where she is in this place in life, but I see it that we haven't seen anything yet. And I pray that she would walk with such purpose, that as she walks in purpose, that that she looks glorious as a Proverbs 31 woman. That's beautiful to you, and that's what the world needs to see, is a virtuous woman. And I pray and I declare that over her right now. And I pray she'd walk in that fullness and she'd walk in that abundance. And I pray she'd press in. That now's not the time to coast, but now's the time to press in. And I pray that she'd press in for herself. I pray she'd press in for Corey, and I pray she'd press in for Jackson. And if she does that, then you're going to just reveal the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom to her. And I pray that would just transform her life, or transform her heart, transform her mind. So in Jesus' name, I just ask this and believe this. All right, let's lay hands on Jackson real quick. Lord, I just pray blessings over this young man. I pray protection over this young man. I pray a household of peace over this young man, a household of purpose over this young man, a household of identity over this young man, that he would know that he was built for significance, that he was built for significance. And I pray he would walk in that significance, Father. That he would know and understand from early age that he's in a kingdom family. And that this is the way that he lives, and this is the way he walks, and these are the privileges, and these are the responsibilities. And I just pray, Lord, I just feel a declaring over him that he would understand the responsibility of being a kingdom child. And it would not be overwhelming for him, but it would be empowering for him. That he would understand the responsibility of being a kingdom child, and the glory that comes with that. And I just pray that this would not be a mantle that would be burdensome for him, but it would be a weight and a mantle that would just spring forth with identity, and spring forth with purpose, and spring forth with calling. And that he would flourish in that, Father. That he would flourish in that. That not only is he significant in his household, but he's significant in the world. And that, man, he would just grow accordingly, Father. I just declare that over him. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right. Yeah, y'all go ahead and let's give them a hand clap of praise in here. Woo-hoo!
I just have one quick thing. I know it's been long, but I just wanted to say, when Lori was talking about the prayer and she gave you the books, I think a lot of times we just take for granted, you know, that you know things, but obviously you know to pray for the spiritual, but there's nothing wrong with praying all the practical, everyday things. I mean, you pray for your kids to excel in school. You pray. I mean, I used to pray that my kids would be smart and all that, and I remember when Robin Hunter was probably first grade, somewhere in there, so Hannah was right behind him, and I remember her on the phone saying, you know, I pray that he will love school and that, you know, he'll be able to memorize. You know, you pray specific things over your children, and you sit back in 15, 20 years, and you look at what God has done and how he has answered those prayers. Mary, when I could tell that she was all into sports, prayed ability, best on the field, all that stuff, protection. And her ability didn't come from Brett. It came from God. And you pray specific things. There is nothing wrong with praying the practical, everyday things.
Amen. Amen. Brett can go home and lick his wounds. You still a stud in my book, Brett. All right, y'all stand to your feet. It's been a good day in the house. It's been a fun day in the house. Amen. Hadn't it been a fun day in the house? I knew today was going to be fun. Thankful for the patience of the kids. Y'all did good. Amen. Yeah. Father, I'm going to pray a prayer blessing over all of us and we'll go. Yes, you can.
Kind of put this off, but the Lord just wants all of you to know that all of heaven is rejoicing over this day today, And when I was in worship, it was like this swirl of just angelic activity. I'm like, what is going on, Lord? And he's like, the heavenlies are rejoicing in this day, and he is writing this day down, and he is rejoicing that you have purposed in your hearts that this one's yours, Lord. This one is yours. This one is yours. This one is yours. And he rejoices over that, and he is writing it down. And you have heaven's resources, the heavenly host to help you, whatever that is, whatever that looks like every day, heaven's resources to help you, whatever it looks like, whatever you need. But he has made note of this, and he says, I rejoice with you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're all rejoicing. As you celebrate today, they're celebrating with you.
Amen. Amen. All right. Our charge to everybody in here, watch me. Everybody in here, the charge for you guys is watch me. Watch me. Watch me. Watch how I do life. Watch how I do life. Amen. Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you that we could come together and we could celebrate what you've done. We could celebrate what you've done. And I thank you for the joining of these people together in marriage. I celebrate that. It's not a mistake, not happenstance. And I thank you for a divine purpose. And I thank you for them bringing their children today. And we just pray blessings over that. We pray that everybody in here would walk in such a place of purpose, walk in such a place that the world can look at them and say, just watch me, watch me. This is what heaven looks like. Challenge each of us with that in our lives. We love you. We exalt you. And we just celebrate you. We celebrate life. We celebrate what you've brought in for us. In Jesus' name, amen.